Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
By the Lord or the law. And what does that mean, magnify? Of course you know what to magnify anything means, to increase it, to expand it, to enlarge it. And so according to our understanding of our soul, of ourself, and how we show up in the world, we have an opportunity through an infinite intelligence that's indwelling us to look within at the deep fathomless root of our being and make this connection with the soul. The soul is always there, but like any other thing, if it's not cultivated and nurtured, then it doesn't operate at its optimum level in the same way that we physically do not. So when we know more, we do more. When we know better, we do better. That's what Beauty Shop for the Soul is about. It's about learning, discovering, as it says in the sacred text, know thyself. I think it was Socrates who made that popular, but it's an eternal verity. When we know ourselves, it transforms us spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, socially, across all stratifications in our lives. But of course, sometimes we have these experiences by accident, coincidence. So when that happens, we have no way of knowing. We don't have a formula or a recipe that we can just whip out and apply it under specific circumstances. We just have to wait on divine providence. And of course, in the meantime, Beauty Shop for the Soul is a program of transformation that will facilitate one's ability to magnify their soul. Because when we have these experiences that are painful, undesirable, that in some way reflect a level or energy of negativity, whether it is from anger, resentment, revenge, doubt, grief, disbelief, whatever it is, that's out of alignment with our true essence, being created in the image and likeness of love, then the soul is like an injury to the soul, or wound, I should say, sorry. Anyway, so Beauty Shop for the Soul is this program of transformation, as I was starting to say, and in that regard, we get to discover how we are not cultivating our soul. We get to explore our own individualized expression of the infinite intelligence that is indwelling us, that is everywhere present in and through and around all things, permeating all of creation. As that poem says, I don't know the author, perhaps unknown, but it says, God sleeps in the rock. God dreams in the plant, God stirs in the animal, and awakens in man. And so the interesting thing is that this is not only an appropriate description of all of creation, but it's also indicative of the stages of life that we, in our evolutionary process, go through. We are asleep when we don't know who we are or whose we are. When we have no idea how to handle the issues of life, it doesn't stop the issues of life from surfacing. It doesn't stop death or taxes or any of these things that may cause some of us some of the time some frustration. So the benefit is to have a spiritual toolkit that you know how to apply, that you recognize the appropriate instrument to use at any given time. As we look at the manifestation of our souls in physical experiences, if we're looking at always having a sense of lack, limitation, separation, then that's an indication that there's been some misprogramming. By myth, much of our programming is maybe not intended. Some of it is. It certainly has been. However, we get to become responsible for how we handle our lives and what we do with it. So if you are having experiences that are undesirable and it looks like someone else is responsible, I encourage you to look again, because ultimately, when you look around at times or how many events or people are involved with experiences that are undesirable in your life, and identify the common denominator, and what do you find? Yourself. I certainly have found myself more than once. When I say found myself, I don't mean the divine essence is there, but it was a process in discovering that someone else had not perpetuated anything. Not to say that people don't do unkind, thoughtless, and sometimes even inhumane things. That certainly has happened. However, similar experiences have handled it differently and thus had a different outcome, a different. I was just listening recently to the memorial service for Maya Angelou, who at an early age was raped by an adult, and then to add to that misfortune, this person was murdered within a day or two of that. And Maya, at her young age of 7, thought that she had been responsible with her thoughts about this person, and that had caused the death. Fear that her words may kill somebody else. And so for the next 5 years, she didn't speak. On some occasions, I understand that she did speak only to her brother because she knew that she loved him to the degree that she could never kill him. But besides that, she didn't speak. And, of course, I won't go into the details of her life at that time, but what we are talking about is how at some point in her life, she made some choices about herself and her life. She chose not to go through the rest of her life once she found her voice and began to use her voice not only for her own well-being, but for the divine well-being of all mankind, for African Americans in particular, for women, actually just in terms of civil rights, and civil applies to every person on the planet. And so we get to make those choices no matter what has happened and that the experiences that we've had in life. One of the things I love about the Olympics is to see these gold medal winners who at some point in their life had been what generally is considered handicapped, meaning that they couldn't walk, couldn't talk, whatever the element was. And somehow, and Wilma Rudolph was one of these people who had polio and had voices on her legs. But Wilma, unbeknownst to her mother at some point, and this was after years of therapy, but when her mom was not home, she would take these braces off of her legs and guess what? Play basketball, backyard basketball. Well, if you don't know the name, Wilma Rudolph gained enough strength, courage, faith, desire, and intention. Not only did she play backyard basketball, but in the 1960 Olympics, she won 3 gold medals and was deemed to be the fastest woman in the world at that time. This is somebody who did not let her life picture of the past govern her future. That's what Beauty Shop for the Soul is about. How we can do an assessment of our lives. In other words, that would be like, first the assessment and then a purification process. You get to shampoo your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, cleanse them, in other words, so that then you can begin conditioning yourself just as though you were at a traditional beauty shop and you went through the same or similar in terms of parables. And by the way, I want to switch over here to say for a moment, there's been some technical difficulties on this side. If for some reason we lose connection, I may or may not be able to resume this call. If that be the case, I will continue it next week. Hopefully by next week I will have my new phone. It's been on order, and it should be in any time. So my apology in advance. I thought for a moment I wouldn't even be able to get on now, but good. And so here I am, and there you are. And we'll see what goes with this. I'm just speaking to the energy and essence of the unseen forces of heaven to be here on this call. How about that? And so what we are talking about is joy, actually, happiness. And what are some of the synonyms for joy? What are some of the synonyms for happiness? Exaltation, elation. Wow, there are so many words that are appropriate for us to use and to choose. In fact, as we are admonished, choose ye this day whom you shall serve. Are you going to serve the thoughts of things that you do not want to create in your life? You have the power and the choice to do that. Or are you going to look through the clouds that seem to be bringing something undesired, and every cloud has a silver lining? In Beauty Shop for the Soul, that's what we do, is we work on finding the silver lining with the understanding that it's always there. So back in the olden days, in the days of shepherds and sheep, if a sheep went astray, the shepherd would leave the whole flock, perhaps 100 or more in that flock of sheep, and go and find the wandering sheep and bring him back. Now, if this particular sheep or any sheep was prone to wandering off from the herd, what the shepherd would do to protect that sheep from actually wandering into a danger zone, meaning there were predators out there that could kill it, the shepherd would break the leg of the sheep. Wow. Kind of painful experience, but less painful than death. And so imagine what that would be like. What if that kind of situation or scenario were to happen to us every time we went astray? Well, we do have thoughts that go astray, and our thoughts are our sheep. So in Beauty Shop for the Soul, that's one of the things that we get to explore, because it is everything begins and ends in mind. And so, you know, we have our imagination as well. And everything that has ever been created was first in the mind of someone before it became fully physically manifested. And so we are the shepherd of our thoughts. Many wonderful lessons have been told or taught using parable. And what is a parable but two stories? A parable is a story that one of the two stories will be one that you can relate to from your everyday life, so that then you could take that particular story and relate it to something that's more complex and complicated and maybe even sounding mystical or anything that clouds your ability at the moment to relate to it. By associating it with the thing that you know and understand, you get a clearer picture of that. And so the shepherd would take care of his sheep, and as it says in the sacred text, the shepherd knows the voice of every single sheep, and the sheep know. So hypothetically or metaphysically, spiritually speaking, we are the shepherd of our sheep. Our sheep are our thoughts. And some of those thoughts do not serve us. Now, I know this is not true for you, but you probably know someone that has had the experience of focusing in on, in fact, I know someone, and of course, obviously nameless, but someone who complains about not having certain things in their life. But in the meantime, if they spend much on having the thing that they complain about not having, they would have a greater experience and opportunity of the having as opposed to of the having not or not having. So, in fact, one of the stories that comes to my mind is about someone that I know that is wheelchair bound. And this particular person was in a car accident, and it left her unable to walk. And I'm hesitating because I'm not wanting to say paralyzed, although she's immobile. But medically speaking, they found that her spine is intact. But for whatever the reason, she is not walking. And now it's been a number of years accumulating that she hasn't walked. But at some point, I heard about a particular process, and we have the opportunity to use the facility for a month at no charge. So I invited this person to go. And we arrived there, she in her wheelchair, of course, and what we were using was these Megan beds. And these beds were electronic. They had heat, and they had jade rollers. Well, when we arrived there, I had not attempted to assist this friend in transitioning from the chair to anything and back and forth. So this was my first experience, and there was another person there that I knew, and the two of us, it happened to be a woman, we assisted our friend in moving from the wheelchair to that Megan bed, and they weren't at the same level, and it was quite a struggle for us to move her or to facilitate her movement from the chair down to the bed. So this happened. It was quite a struggle. And then the two of us go and get our own treatment. We come back, and now we repeat this process in reverse. It's a struggle to get this person from the bed now back to the wheelchair. And by the way, a significant part that I left out, when we were moving her from the chair to the bed, she was making little funny jokes, they sounded funny at least, and referring to her legs as dead and to her body as dead weight. And I certainly must not have been thinking at that moment, because I know that I probably chuckled because it was sounding funny. But underneath it all, it's a serious situation or condition. That didn't register at the moment. I went back, and my friend and I struggled, as I said, to get this person back from the bed to the wheelchair. And as soon as I returned home, I had a revelation. And the revelation was the power of the word and how incongruent or congruent that they can be. And depending on which one they are, there will be the manifestation of that. And so I realized that her desire was being neutralized by her thinking that her legs were dead, by her making a joke about it. There's a saying in this thought, the subconscious mind can't take a joke. And so I called this woman, and I apologized for having participated in the experience in the way that I had by indulging in the laughter. And despite the fact that I knew that what her desire was, and she knew, the only difference is she didn't quite yet understand what I thought I understood, but certainly wasn't standing in that truth. So I invited her to go back the next day. So the next day we returned to this place, and the person that we met the day before, I did not let them know, and she wasn't there. So now, but I have formulated a plan, a formula for how we are going to do this. So the first thing is to begin with the end in mind. And how does that happen? To begin with the end in mind, you first want to see the job done, that it's finished. And me joining her in this conscious realization is that we are just a vehicle for the expression of this energy and essence. So I began, with a prayer, and then a brief visualization. And then, wondrously, easily, effortlessly, and single-handedly, meaning single-handedly in terms of a physical being, I moved this person from the chair to the bed in less than even half the time that it had taken the day before with another person physically assisting. All we did was shift in consciousness. That's what Beauty Shop for the Soul is about. It's about shifting consciousness from what is impossible to the infinite possibilities and limitless potentials of life. It takes practice. It takes an awareness. It takes a willingness to have this experience. But all things are possible. So in this, I'm reminded of several things. By the way, metaphysically speaking, thoughts are things. Everything begins, as I said earlier, with a thought and then makes manifest on the outside. So, and this is whether you want to learn a foreign language, whether you want to be in tune or in touch with yourself, your higher self, whether you want to write a book, experience greater health and well-being, it doesn't. There are universal laws at work 24/7. And as that expression goes, ignorance of the law is no excuse. The fact that you don't know a law, in the same way that if you travel from the state you're in to another state, meaning the geographical place, and you were operating a vehicle, and the laws were different in the two different states. So let's say that you can make a right turn on the red light in the state that you reside in. However, going to another state, it's against the law to make a right turn on the red light. However, you make it unaware that it is against the law. And, of course, there is an official, an officer, who gives a citation for having broken the law. Well, spiritual law operates without the assistance of a physical being. That's why it's called universal or spiritual law. And the law is every seed, one of the many laws. Every seed must multiply after its own kind. And so what does that mean? You can't plant potatoes and get tomatoes. You can't plant lettuce and get cabbage. And so the same thing, you can't plant sow seeds, because as you sow, so shall you reap. You cannot sow seeds and then end up, of course, they have to be cultivated as well. But every seed must multiply after its own kind. If you sow seeds of anger, what do you get? More things to be angry about. If you sow seeds of doubt, what do you get? More doubt, more things to doubt. That's the way the law works. And the law is no respecter of persons. It is totally subject to your words. So we get to choose whether we are going to be happy or whether we're going to be sad. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have life experiences, but it will mean that we have a choice in how we handle the life experiences. And I know that in regard to the death of a close relative or a significant person, I remember when I was a kid that there was people used to wear a black band around their arm, and others would know automatically that there had been a death of a close relative, a member of the family, in other words. And the mourning would last for about a year. I haven't heard of that for a very, very long time. I also taught school in Africa for a couple of years, and what I discovered there was when there was the death of a significant person, the Africans would shave their hair. That is to clear away the energy and et cetera from that grief and sadness and et cetera that happened. So, but in my family, the way that they handle grief, I don't know how anyone did it individually. They never shared that part. But the funeral or the repast after the funeral and even prior to the funeral when they had what they called a wake, where people go to pay respect to the family, that was a time of a lot of laughter and reflection upon the life of the newly deceased. So there would be funny, funny stories, and many times would even bring tears of so much laughter about that person and about their experiences with that person. And so this is probably very different than a lot of other people, but it is a choice. Now, I don't think that we consciously necessarily chose it, but I grew up in that kind of environment. And so it was pretty much expected. And even at when one of my brothers, who himself had been a source of a lot of humor at funerals and et cetera, when he made his transition, his daughter decided, and unbeknownst to the rest of us, she just said that she had a surprise for us through the wake, you know, and now we have to repass. And here comes the surprise. She had hired a comedian, and this comedian entertained everybody, and I just thought that was so appropriate. I don't know where she got the idea from, but it certainly served us well. There's a whole different biochemical impact on the body of the one, of anybody, from our thoughts. And when they are grief-stricken thoughts, thoughts of sadness and et cetera, it impacts upon all the vital organs in the body. And, of course, grief is not something that you necessarily circumvent. You know, you can't go around it, can't go over it or under it, but you can go through it. And how we get through it depends upon the choices that we make. A choice to remember the good times, a choice to focus on that. There's a scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so when we find that or remember, each and every one of us are made in the image and likeness of God. And what does that mean? What are the aspects? Love, the things that are infinite and eternal, inexhaustible, everywhere present, all the time. And God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive. So for any of you who are challenged with the word God, this is not to persuade you to have a different perspective about your belief. It is the realization that there is a presence and power in the universe that is everywhere present, and it's called by many names by many people, and we honor you. Whatever it is that you choose to honor as the supreme intelligence in your life. In the meantime, this is an opportunity to apply our understanding with the events and experiences of our life and thereby transform our life. And so when we decide to experience happiness, then something happens on the inside of us. And it was Buddha that said, our happiness, our thoughts are the cause of our happiness and the condition of happiness for everybody else on the planet. We are always radiating out energy. So when we have happy thoughts, not only does it affect us biochemically and releases those little endorphins into the bloodstream, in our bloodstream, but it also is a condition for happiness for every single person on the planet. And so if it's true for happiness, what happens with sadness? What happens with grief? What happens with anger? What happens with any of those emotions? And what is emotion but energy in motion? What happens is that our unhappy thoughts are the cause of us being unhappy. Our unhappy thoughts cause us to be unhappy. In other words, thoughts of negativity, condemnation, guilt, separation, limitation, lack, and the list goes on and on and on. But it not only is the cause of us being unhappy, it is the condition for the unhappiness of people all over the world. There are some religions that teach that not only does it make us unhappy, chances are we picked up our ability and potential to be happy from our caretakers, from through our lineage, from the ancestors and et cetera, and of course will be passed on to those who come through us. And so when we make a choice to be happy, when we make a choice to experience divine well-being, we're not making anything happen. We are allowing it to happen. I am myself. I need to just take a sip of water. Just hold on for a moment. I am myself do nothing. It is the spirit in me that doeth the work. And so when we began to consider that our thoughts are the sheep of our past, and you know that psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, why in green pastures? What does that symbolize? And while you sort of contemplate that, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, why the still waters? What would happen to sheep that were not guided beside the still waters? If they were caught in turbulent waters, what would happen? The wool on their bodies would become saturated and they would sink dry. So when we let our thoughts go astray, like the sheep, as I mentioned earlier, when one sheep was prone to wander and would leave the herd, they put themselves in danger. And the shepherd would leave a whole flock and go after the sheep. The shepherd would actually break the leg of the sheep. Well, that's the analogy for the spiritual law. No one is physically, necessarily breaking a leg, but when we let our woolly thoughts wander and don't bring them back in alignment with our true essence of who we are and whose we are, as we continue to focus on the lack, the limitation, and separation as opposed to the oneness, the wholeness, the wellness, and nowness, and we just keep coming back to center. When we allow those thoughts to get saturated, because there is at work, we are like, as Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, said, we are like radio broadcasting stations. And so the energy always goes out. That's how people resonate with us or not, and the same with us for others. And, you know, it has been said that if you want to test the character of a person, have a baby in their presence, babies pick up on the energy right away. So do animals. And, of course, so do the elderly people. So it's a really interesting experience that we can have by just being aware of the power of our thoughts and of our ability to direct them like a shepherd guiding its flock, guiding its sheep. So we have these thoughts. And we can choose to be happy despite the clouds. In fact, back to Maya Angelou again, one of the quotes that she made came from a song. God put a rainbow in the clouds when it looked like the sun refused to shine. And so when you look at that, when we have these experiences in life that looks dark, maybe feels dark, put a rainbow in the clouds. So we get to put a rainbow there by shifting, by actually looking for the silver lining in the clouds that seems to be causing some dis-ease. And so this song, there was many times, many references about when God put a rainbow in the cloud. When Noah was shut up in the ark, God put a rainbow in the cloud. When those challenging times came every time. So this is for you to know that there is no order of difficulty in the mind of the infinite intelligence. There is no order of difficulty. So there is, as it was said to Sarah when she was in her 90s and told that she was going to have a child, and she herself thought it hilarious and began to laugh out loud. Her voice said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And, of course, we know what happened. Sarah had Isaac. So it wasn't too hard for the Lord, even though she was years and years and even decades beyond childbearing years. So, again, for your children or your sheep, and in either case, you have a responsibility as a steward. So you can choose whom you would serve. And another interesting phenomenon at the recent Academy Awards of 2014, this young man named Pharaoh did a song called Happy. And that song unexpectedly went viral around the world. And they now refer to it as the 24-hour song because so many people in so many countries did their own versions of Happy. It's just fun to Google it on YouTube and watch people in French, in Dutch, in Spanish, in the Philippines, in many, many countries around the world. They have their own version of animating the song Happy. I read that it is the first song since, in 57 years, I guess that's back to the Beatles days, when a song sold over 2 million cuts. So Pharaoh is the only one who has that distinction outside of the Beatles. That would be many decades ago. But that is an indication about the desire of people to be happy. And what's your desire? What is your desire? I'm not sure, actually, what's happening here. I hope you're able to hear me. And